Welcome to the Mark Steiner Show here on The Real News. I'm Mark Steiner, and as usual, it's great to have you all with us. All of us by now are aware of this series of articles being put out by hundreds of newspapers across the globe about the Pandora Papers and opening Pandora's box, as it would. And this is an amazing moment, actually. It was created by the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists. It involved 600 journalists from around the globe. And they look through 11.9 million documents. That kind of looks at the flow of money and assets, how we obscure things and hide things, conceal things through an offshore financial system. The Washington Post was part of this. The Guardian was part of this. And it involves the U.S. Probably not as much as I would like to have seen. I don't talk to our guest about that. But it examined the industry within the United States, looked at what happens in places like South Dakota, and looks internationally at how people hide their billions of dollars from taxes. And some of the sleaziest people on the planet are involved in this. And we're going to look at all that and what it means. Does this have legs in terms of creating change? Are people interested in this because it doesn't affect the U.S. directly, but it does in some ways? So we're joined by a man who was actually involved in this project, and we've talked to him many times before. His name is Chuck Collins. He's director of the Program on Inequality and the Common Good at the Institute for Policy Studies, where he co-edits inequality.org, and author of numerous books, including Born on Third Base, A One Percenter Makes the Case for Tackling Inequality, Bringing Home Wealth and Committing the Common Good, and his most recent book, The Wealth Hoarders, How Billionaires Spend Millions to Hide Trillions. And Chuck, welcome. Good to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
So let's just talk about this investigation on its own first, and what you think the importance of this is for the audience. Your audience is international, but what is the importance here?
Well, I think part of it is the scale of the findings, the number of people caught in the web, the number of wealthy elites and politicians around the world who are using this, I call it the hidden wealth system. And I think from a global point of view and from a U.S. point of view, it's very important that people understand the U.S. has now become one of the biggest tax havens in the world. So some of those shady characters and billionaires are bringing their money to the U.S. to take advantage of our shell companies, our trusts, our other kind of places to park their wealth and avoid accountability and taxes in their home countries.
So one of the things that struck me about this, that even though it brought into the picture King Abdullah from Jordan, other international leaders like in Czechoslovakia, who actually ran on a platform to wipe this kind of thing out. And then it looks as if the president himself lied and is actually doing it himself, creating his own wealth that way. And it seems that they really honed in on some of the sleaziest human beings among the billionaire class. What is that dynamic, do you think?
Well, I think what this really shows is that the political elites are using the same system, so they don't have a lot of motivation to change it. Some of the wealthiest people in the world are clearly avoiding taxes. And, I think that the impact is some of these heads of state, they won't be here for long. You know, the president of Cyprus, the president of the Czech Republic, and some of these other countries, they will be removed. I worked a lot with journalists from Mexico, and they have 3,000 people from the sort of wealthy political elite in Mexico who have been, unmasked in these leaks as taking money out of the public works projects that they're supposed to supervise and funneling it offshore and then funneling it to, apartments in Miami. So it's going to have a huge impact, particularly in other parts of the world.
So let me digress for a moment, because you just said you worked with the folks in Mexico, and I introduced you to someone who was actually involved in this project. So what was your role here? What did you do in this project?
Yeah, so because I wrote this book, The Wealth Hoarders,
right,
and I know people from the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, I was basically a resource primarily to foreign journalists who just trying to understand the U.S. system. Why is it that states are so different? What is it about U.S. trust law that allows certain things to happen? So, I was in the know. I didn't have access to the raw data, but I knew, that this was happening. And I have to say, I talked to the most impressive journalists in the world, from Brazil and Argentina and Mexico and all these European publications, because they were digging up dirt. They were using this data to sort of understand what the elites in their country were doing.
So that is interesting. I mean, I think that we could have a whole nother conversation just about the power of the independent media, especially outside the United States, and the role they play in countries like Brazil, where they're being threatened daily with death by Bolsonaro and his thugs. But let's bring it home here for what you were just describing, because I think the one thing that is shocking to many people looking at this report is that a couple of things. One is how the United States is deeply involved in this in terms of people hiding their money in this country as opposed to people in this country hiding their money in other countries. That's A. And B is also kind of the lack of involvement of American billionaires in this process. We'll come to that next. But let's just talk about people hiding their money in the United States. I mean, look at the states that were listed in this document: South Dakota, Florida, Delaware, Texas, Nevada, all kind of really dominated by the right wing in their politics. And they become tax havens to the thing called dynasty trust and other things. So parse that out for us. What the hell is a dynasty trust? And how does this function in a place like South Dakota?
Yeah. What's important to hear is to understand that in these small states, the wealth defense industry, the wealth managers and tax attorneys and accountants who serve the ultra wealthy, basically lobbied, or probably more accurately, wrote the laws that these states have implemented. So in the area of trust law, which is a deathly boring topic, but fascinating to me now, yeah, because
right.
Trusts, that these folks have manipulated the form of the trust. And in the simplest terms, what South Dakota did, their secret sauce is trusts used to have to terminate within a short period of time, within a lifetime or within a lifetime and a half, and the trust would dissolve. And for a larger political context, this was a response to feudalism, where the aristocrats would tie up the wealth and land of say, England in perpetuity. And so when they reformed their law system, they changed it so that in the colorful language, the hands of the dead did not rule the lives of the living. Hmm. And so you terminate a trust, because a trust shouldn't live forever. It shouldn't lord over people. It shouldn't put conditions on, my great, 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 great grandchildren can never have this wealth, unless they marry these folks, just like it should end. And what they did in South Dakota was they suspended and eliminated that so that trusts can exist in perpetuity. So if you're a billionaire and you want to create a wealth dynasty so that your great, great grandchildren never have to work, you will move your money to South Dakota. But now it's not just South Dakota, because other states are competing with them to attract the same big piles of money.
Right. I think it's a mistake. Places like Delaware, that have always been a haven for the corporate banking world to hide their stuff, is in this list, along with Texas, which is really, even though it's a very divided state, is really controlled by the right. But let's go to South Dakota again for a moment. I mean, this is a state that's not known for its wealth, but clearly is the center of all of this. But so what does that mean? I mean, what does that mean in terms of what we can do in this country to address that, A? And B, which you can start with, what does it mean about South Dakota and the intricacies there?
Yeah. Well, the trust industry in South Dakota is small. It's maybe 500 people, but those are pretty high-paying jobs. And so in the South Dakota economy, that they are a political force. They actually, get what they want done. And because they've had these conservative governors and legislatures, they basically get to write the laws and write the rules. What can be done about that? Well, we certainly can't wait for anybody in South Dakota to change the system. They have no incentive to do that. So it's going to have to be, it's kind of like the rest of the neighborhood is going to have to, force the change, if you will. And it's going to have to be federal. We're going to have to reassert and redesign trust law at the national level to basically restore this idea that trusts can't exist forever. Trusts over a certain size should be publicly registered and probably should be taxed. Just as an ownership form, they are just, weapons of mass destruction. People are using them to cause all kinds of harms. And that's going to be a hard lift, because obviously in the United States, we have this federalist system where these states are, so independent and have different laws and independence. But you know, there's lots of examples where a federal statute can override states, especially when states are causing harms.
So, I mean, before I read this article, I mean, I've been looking at other articles about how American billionaires and corporate interests are hiding money assets overseas, which is where you think they're going to do it. Nobody would expect it to be in Delaware, Texas, and South Dakota and Nevada. So how does that work? I mean, can an American billionaire do the same thing in South Dakota?
Yeah. First, there's an important point here. The reason we don't see a lot of U.S. names on this list is because the leaks came from 14 different wealth advisory firms located in, you know, Singapore and Cyprus and places where U.S. wealthy people don't go for their financial services. None of the leaks came from firms in the United States. But I can assure you, U.S. billionaires are using the same toolbox, offshore bank accounts, anonymous shell companies, opaque trusts. They're using the same tools. What's changed, Mark, is wealthy people in the U.S. don't need to go offshore as much. They might go offshore to kind of add another layer of protection, if you will, of secrecy. But most of what they need to do can be done here in the United States using the existing tools. And because the U.S., while Europe kind of started to clean up its act and a lot of tax havens have shut down, the United States has been a laggard and we haven't updated our laws. We haven't changed the transparency regime. And so the hidden wealth is coming here to the United States.
That's really kind of interesting, the dynamic here. I mean, we used to always talk when I was younger, people that used the term banana republic, referring to places in Latin America, especially that were run by dictators or propped up by the United States. That last sentence they didn't usually include, but that's what it was.
Right.
But it's the same dynamic, though. We're talking about places like South Dakota becoming those same banana republics, hiding people's wealth.
Yeah, I mean, remember we used to talk about the Swiss bank account.
You know, yeah, exactly.
You're going to get $1 million, you're going to open a Swiss bank account.
Right.
Well, in 2009, the U.S. Under Obama entered into a treaty with the Swiss government and the Swiss banks that if U.S. nationals open up accounts, they have to report that data to U.S. tax authorities. We shut down the Swiss bank account as an escape hatch for U.S. wealth. And Europe started to form treaties between countries, you know, also disclosing banking information. The laggard is the U.S. We didn't reciprocate. If a wealthy Swiss billionaire brings their wealth to South Dakota, our folks aren't obliged to share that information. So we've become the weak link in the global system of wealth hiding.
Before we come back to what we can do, and another question about South Dakota, one of the things which I think was interesting, something you said before we went on the air together, that I want people to hear, is that it appeared as if, from reading all the articles, that the only Americans caught up in this are the sleaziest billionaires you could find. Pedophiles and, I mean, just a plethora of unsavory human beings who've been sent to court, some sent to jail, some hiding overseas so they can't be found. But the sleaziest among the wealthiest. Why is that? I mean, why, you know, there was no Elon Musk in there. There weren't any folks from Facebook in there. I mean, what is that about and why is that?
I have a simple answer. It's that the British Virgin Islands, which did have two of the companies that leaked information for the Pandora Papers, is the place where, think about this. This is where Jeffrey Epstein was living. This is where he was advising his wealthy friends on how to do tax dodging. He lived in a little island off Tortola, and he took advantage of the British Virgin Island corporate system and anonymous shell companies. So some of that just happens to be, there are a few billionaires who use the BVI trusts and banking system. But, you know, most of them, again, ProPublica did this report last week where the 100 richest people in the United States, out of those 100, half of them use these trusts called GRATs, grantor retained annuity trusts, to avoid estate taxes. They don't have to go offshore to do that. They just do that here.
What do you mean they do that here? How they do it here?
Well, they just create these trusts and they create these kind of transactions between themselves and different parties. And basically it's a way to kind of obfuscate mm-hmm. whose wealth is where. And it's a way to pass money on to children, circumventing our federal estate tax. So that's what the super rich and their enablers, this wealth defense industry, they've figured out how to pretty much do this onshore.
So let's get down to for a few minutes here on what the United States can do and what can be done, both in terms of not allowing people to use these tax havens, but B, what we do in our own country to control the kind of banking unregulations of places like South Dakota and Delaware, Nevada. I mean, so what could be proposed that would A, interest American people in listening to it, and B, actually control this crap?
Yeah, I mean, I think before that, we have to convince people that this harms people in the United States. I mean, I can tell you how the system will is plundering countries in the global South because, you know, the dictators and autocrats and elites are taking money out of their home countries and, you know, taking it to the U.S. and how that undermines the rule of law. But frankly, people in the U.S. are like, yeah, okay, so that's too bad. But here's the problem.
Right.
It's the same system that's causing you and I to pay higher taxes, or it's the same system that failed to build that hospital that should have been there during the pandemic. So when the rich don't pay taxes, everybody else has to pick up the slack. And secondly, it fuels growing inequality in the racial wealth divide. I mean, we're seeing the creation of wealth dynasties in the United States. So if we can kind of educate the public that this really harms us, even here in the United States, in addition to harming millions of people around the world, the things that we can do, one is require disclosure. And here's some good news, Mark. At the end of last year, Congress passed something called the Corporate Transparency Act. It's kind of overrode Delaware and basically said, if you have a limited liability company, you have to tell us who you are, who the real beneficial owner is, who's the real owner. And you have to report that to the Treasury Department, police, you know, FinCEN. So that's a great precedent because now we can go back and say, okay, trusts need to be brought under scrutiny. We need to require trusts over a certain size to be registered. There has to be disclosure of who the owners are. And probably we should tax assets in trusts over a certain size. And by the way, trusts can't live forever. Let's reinstitute the rules around trusts that say they have to terminate at some point. That, basically, there goes South Dakota's secret sauce. You know, what they have to market is no taxes, no disclosure, and permanent trusts. And if you require them to disclose and you require them to terminate after a certain period of time, let's say in 90 years, their competitive advantage is gone. And it basically that race to the bottom between these states ends. Anyway, the first most important thing is to rebuild the IRS's ability to follow the shell games of the super rich. And President Biden has said, you know, I want to invest $40 or $80 billion over the next 10 years to watch the tax activities of the super rich and make sure they're paying their fair share. That's a really important first step in this process.
Yeah, because they've done really well at making us all think the IRS is the bogeyman against us, as opposed to being what it's supposed to be, which is the watchdog and wealthy cheating in terms of bringing money to our own country for what we need. So
exactly.
That's important. So last two things here. So A, talk to me about for just a second what you think about is the importance of these revelations and why they should be important to people like us to want to read and understand.
Well, I mean, I think the Pandora Papers and the Panama Papers before that have kind of given us, opened the window and given us an insight into this sort of secret system of the super wealthy. And we know now what that system looks like. But what's great about these disclosures is it names names. It holds people to account. We could use a couple of good leaks here in the United States, Mark. So if anyone is listening, they can contact me at the Institute for Policy Studies and I will put you in touch with the good people at the consortium who will confidentially and securely handle those disclosures. Because it will make a huge difference to see the real, and I should say ProPublica, you know, did get access to tax returns and has showed us a fairly big picture of how the super rich avoid taxes. But we, you know, a few more leaks like that would help us make the case that this really does matter. It really causes tremendous harms. I mean, here's one other harm. Where does this money go? Well, it isn't sitting in South Dakota. It's invested in the market. It's invested in various assets, and it's in real estate. It's in land and real estate. And so this wealth from around the world and from our own billionaires is disrupting our housing markets. It's driving up the cost of land. All the building resources are going toward building luxury housing for people who don't even live in them. You know, just luxury towers that are kind of like wealth storage units that are vacant. This is where the treasure of our economy is going, and it's wrecking lives in cities and communities across the country. So this stuff really matters. It's really in our interest to basically shut this hidden wealth system down.
So let's close here with the story that you shared with me, your thoughts you shared with me about South Dakota and some of the glaring contradictions and connections historically. Leave our listeners with that.
Well, here's just a what's wrong with what's broken in South Dakota story. In the 1980s, a lawyer representing a super rich family from Wisconsin went to Governor Bill Janklow. Wild Bill Janklow was a legal services attorney who got involved in prosecuting and setting up Leonard Peltier and cracking down on the American Indian movement. He was a self-proclaimed Indian fighter. So he's a bad guy in a lot of ways. And then he did two other things. He basically opened South Dakota up to the trust industry, and he opened it up to the credit card industry. And he did it by changing the laws of the state. States used to have laws, anti-usury laws, that would limit how high interest rates could be charged. South Dakota eliminated their anti-usury law. That's why Citigroup and the Citi credit card is based in South Dakota. They changed the laws around trusts, and that's why billionaire kleptocrats from around the world are taking their money to South Dakota. So it all goes back to kind of a corrupt leader and a state legislature that went along with it.
And it goes to, actually, in many ways, what you're describing also goes to the heart of the political divide in America. The idea of states' rights and individual rights is really, in many ways, a scam for the wealthy to control the country. And people have to understand that as part of a battle that the federal government has to intervene in saying, no, we need a really equitable America, and this is how we're going to do it, and this can't continue. I mean, that is what I think part of it as well. Chuck, I want to thank you for all the work you do, and I appreciate you taking time with us today. And you said earlier people should contact you if they have ideas they want to share. How would they do that?
Well, even more important. Well, that's important. But check out the work that we do at inequality.org. That's
yes.
The website I co-edit. And if you want to track these events and track the journalism that's rocking the world, you can visit us at inequality.org. You can find me there and write to me there. If you're a young person and you're working inside one of those big wealth management firms and you've got a thumb drive, I'll provide the information where you can send it.
Perfect. Chuck Collins, thank you so much for joining us today on the Mark Steiner Show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you all for joining us today. And please let me know what you think about what you've heard today, what you'd like us to cover. Just write to me at mss@therealnews.com, and I promise I'll get right back to you. And if you've not joined us yet, please go to www.therealnews.com/support. Become a monthly donor and become part of the future with us. So for Stephen Frank and the crew here at The Real News, I'm Mark Steiner. Stay involved, keep listening, and take care.